22nd chapter of Luke. I'll tell you what verse in just a moment. But let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. Thank you for your presence here in this service today. I thank you, Father, for everyone that's here. And Father, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of them, that they will have hearing ears to hear, and they would have an open heart to receive your word. May they feel your love. May they know that you love them. Hallelujah. And I thank you for that. And Father God, I thank you for the honor of ministering your word. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, I've been ministering for a few weeks now, maybe about 3 weeks. This would be the fourth, concerning the purpose of the church. And we know, and I won't cover all that again, but we know that the purpose for the church, when I say church, first of all, you have to understand we are the church. Amen. Our bodies, if you're born again, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are the church, but God's church covers the earth. Hallelujah. And there are new Christians being born every day because of the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's part of our responsibility as a church, as the church. Jesus told his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And that's the responsibility that we have. And I want to tell you that our church, this ministry, also help other ministries that can go places we can't go. Other ministries, missions and so forth. I tell you what, I want to be a part of that, don't you? I want to be a part of touching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is divided up. For example, this church. This is just one local church out of many churches. There are many local assemblies, but there's only one body. Let me say that again. There's many local assemblies, but there's only one body, and we are part of the body of Christ. Amen. Now we have a responsibility. Not only are we to win souls, as I've told you many, many times, we are also we've been called to help each other. How many of you know that believers need encouragement?
Amen.
Christians need encouragement.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you're going through things and you feel like, man, I feel like I'm the only one dealing with this. It's good when another brother or another sister come right along beside you and encourage you in the things of the Lord. Amen. They need to encourage you in the word, and everything they tell you need to line up with the word of God. Not tell you throw in the towel and quit on God. That's not the answer. That's the wrong answer. Are you still here? So now, I spoke to you some last week about Peter. He's a good example of what I'm ministering, because Peter was a great man of God. You hear me? Peter was a great man of God. Matter of fact, God used him to write part of the scriptures. But Peter had some issues earlier in his life. He had some issues. He had early in his life. And the reason I mentioned Peter is because in spite of all that he went through and all the unwise things that he did and unwise things that he said, God still used it. But Peter was willing to repent. Peter was willing to repent. If we are going to serve God, we're going to have to serve God on God's terms. And we must be willing to change. Look at somebody sitting beside you and tell them, say, we must be willing to change. Everybody else, just in case they didn't hear, tell them, we must be willing to change. Amen. We must be willing to change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All righty. Luke 22. I'll begin reading at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, that's Peter. Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. By the way, the devil don't feel that way just about Peter. He would like to sift you too. You hear me? I said he would like to sift you too. But listen to what Jesus told Peter. Verse 32, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail or fall. I've prayed for you, Peter, that you don't fall. And this is interesting here, and when you have what? Returned to me. When you have returned to me. Now, for Jesus to tell Peter this, when you have returned to me, then that tells us at some point in time, Peter's going to walk away. He's going to walk away. And so he told him, say, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, he being Peter, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. That's what he said. Lord, I'm ready to go with you. Whatever it takes, Lord, you can count on me. Have anybody ever told you that? You found out that when the pressure was on, they were gone. Peter said, I'm with you, Jesus. I'm not going anywhere. You can count on me. But, verse 34, then he said, Jesus, I tell you, Peter. Now, he was letting Peter know ahead of time. And Peter didn't understand what he was talking about, but he says, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you have denied me three times that you know me. That's pretty serious stuff, folks. And of course, we don't have time to go into all of it today, but he did just that. He was questioned by some folks, and Peter said, I don't know him. I don't know him. You know what? That was a frightened Peter. He was very, very afraid. He was afraid for his own life. Matter of fact, all the disciples, they were afraid, but they didn't deny him. They didn't deny him. Peter denied him. Have you ever done something so bad you think, I don't know if God ever forgive me for this? Or maybe you just been hard-headed and just messed up time and time and time again. Finally, you say, oh, man, you know, God's tired of me. He's not going to forgive me. Yes, he will. But I'll tell you this, you need to come to a place where you say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Amen. The devil is like a bully. Yeah, he'll poke at you until you say enough of that. Then you turn around and you face him with the word of God under the power of the Holy Ghost. And he has to flee. The Bible says resist him, didn't it? Resist him, and he will do what?
Flee
from you. Amen. But you have to come to that point where you say enough is enough is enough. Now, I've been dealing with that area for quite a while, so I know I'm hitting home with some folks here in the sanctuary and those listening on the live stream as well. There comes a time when you have to say enough is enough. Enough of this. This stops now. This stops now. And then you open the door where Jesus can come in and say, let's us fellowship together. We got this. We've, to some extent, been left with the impression that we just have to, certain things we just have to put up with. No, you don't. If it's contrary to the word of God, you don't have to put up with it. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. So Jesus told Peter, now when you come back to me, and Jesus knew that he would return, when you come back to me, this is my instructions to you. Strengthen your brethren, because there are going to be, listen to me, there are going to be some brothers and some sisters out there that have gone through some things that are very similar to what you've gone through, and you can help them. You can help them. How many times you as a Christian have gone through different things in your life, but then you meet somebody else that's going through something very similar to what you've gone through? You know what? That's the time to reach out and let them know God is faithful. God is faithful. God will not turn his back on you. He did it for me, and I know he'll do it for you. He delivered me. I know he'll deliver you. He met my needs. I believe he'll meet yours too. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we must be willing to strengthen each other. See, once we get saved, sometimes we think, praise God, hallelujah, I'm born again now. It's easy traveling. Well, I didn't get that memo. You didn't either. No. You have to deal with things in life. But here's the good part about it. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by how we feel. We walk by faith, not by what somebody else said about us. Let me say this. Please grab a hold of this. Some of you, everybody, not just limited here, some of you can't go any further because you're still stuck on you. And listen to me, and what people think about you. I want to get ahead in life, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, I want to do the other, but I don't measure up. God knew all of us didn't measure up. That's the reason he sent his son. We were all messed up. We needed Jesus. I remember as a young boy and even into my teenage years, we didn't have very much. And I don't know, I always felt, even, we didn't have very much, but I always felt like we had less than anybody else. When you have that mindset, it's hard to find somebody that's worse off than you. Anybody, can you follow what I'm saying? I'm talking about a mindset now, a mindset, and I had that mindset, man, we got it bad, and we're at the very bottom of the barrel. I felt that way. Felt like everybody else was above me. And sometimes I think people can pick up on how you feel about yourself, and they'll help you out. But not the way you want. Growing up in school, I think I was the one they loved to pick on. Laugh at. They knew some things about my family that weren't very good, and they didn't mind talking to me about it. They didn't mind telling me some of them where they saw a member of my family at and what they were doing. And you follow me? Oh, of course you follow me, because some of you have been, and maybe right now you're where I was. And so you were told you were never going to amount to anything. because you'll never get beyond where you are right now. I even had a guy tell me, and I'm sure you've heard some of the same things, but I had a guy try to talk me out of separating from the service because I went into the military, and he tried to talk me out of getting out of the military, but I got out of the military because God told me to get out of the military, but he told me, and he would tell me over and over, man, there's no jobs out there for you. There's no jobs out there. You better stay here. You better stay in the military, man. And I said, no, I'm getting out. He couldn't talk me out of getting out. So every now and then, I'd be walking around the shop, and he'd see me, and he'd smile, and he'd start doing this. What was he doing? He's telling me that's what you're going to be doing for a living, pushing a broom. Well, I've pushed brooms before, and I'm not above it right now. I don't mind pushing the broom if I have to push a broom. But I got out trusting God because God told me to get out. And this ministry is a result of that. But I got set free when I found in the Word of God that He loved me just as much as He loved anybody else. When I didn't have 2 cents to rub together, God loved me just as much as He did the richest person on earth. You're still here. I got in the Word of God and found out that God wanted to meet my needs. I thought, hallelujah. God got no glory out of me being poor. And I thank God for men and women that taught me the Word of God, changed my life. Then I began to see myself different. When the devil told me, you're never going to measure up. Nobody loves you. Nobody respects you anyway. I said, no. God loves me, and that's all that counts right now. Some of us need a new set of friends. Let me say that again. Some of us need a new set of friends. We need to let God send us some more friends, because them friends you hanging around is tearing you down. I don't know why I'm sharing all this, but that's okay. Because I know where. And see, y'all have to understand something. I'm a pastor. And I pastor all the people. Sometimes you only have friends when you have a little money. They know you got a little money, they're your friend. Soon as your money gone, they gone. You need to let God send you a new set of friends. Y'all still with me? Hallelujah. So Jesus, I got to get back here. Jesus told Peter, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. And that's what we are to do today. Amen. In Proverbs, turn to Proverbs chapter 12 real quick. I'm going to try to speed this up. You know, I can stand up here and preach to you, and that's good. That's part of my job. But also another part of my job is to minister to you. And when you minister to someone, it makes it more personal. It's like, okay, now I'm in your living room. Now I know you're talking to me. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 25 and 26. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. You see that? Now let me read it again. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. I just told you that, didn't I? For the way of the wicked leads them astray. We're called to encourage one another. Amen? That's what we need. We need encouragement, but you know what? We need to learn to encourage each other as well. Encourage somebody else. Let me read this to you from the New Living Translation, beginning at verse 25. Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up. Hallelujah. If all you can say is, you look very nice today, say something to bless someone else. Say something to encourage someone else. Not talk about them, cut them down. Well, okay, New Living Translation, verse 25. Worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. Verse 26. The godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked leads them astray. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Now, turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 6th chapter. I'm sorry, 30th chapter. 30th chapter. Now, this is where we want to get to. Thank God for the folks that over the years that has encouraged me, like the gentleman that I was talking about earlier that went to be with the Lord but spoke those words. And there have been so many people, and my wife can witness to this. There have been people that we hadn't seen in years, but they a text or something, and just minister to us and minister to the exact thing we're dealing with. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes.
It happened not too long ago. Don't ask me when, where, how, or who, because I'm not going to tell you. Someone we hadn't seen in a long time text us. And I know they was texting under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Folks, people need that. We need that. We need encouragement. We're still in the flesh. We're still in our bodies. We need somebody to tell us something good. Of course, that lines up with the Bible. Hallelujah. But let me also say this. We just can't live always waiting for someone else to encourage us. Because sometimes it may not come. We must grow. Listen to me. We must grow to the place where we learn to, if nobody says anything good about me, I will encourage myself. Amen. We all should get to that place where we know if nobody ever says anything good to us, we know him. Let me read. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, you know this story. I'll just begin reading at verse 1. And it happened that David and the men, and, you know, David had been out to battle, okay? It happened when David and the men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive women, okay? Hear me, had taken captive women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Now stay with me on this. Now, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire. Ready for this? And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Now I want to stop right there for a moment. While David was out attending, and his men were out attending to other things, they were away from home. Some folks came in, burned the city where their families were, not just David, but his men, and then took the families captive. Didn't kill them, but took them captive. Now, the first thing some of us would have said, are y'all ready for this? Lord, why did you let this happen? Why did you let this happen? Some would have got mad at God. Why did you let this happen? Well, let's read on. Verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. That's some serious crying. That's some serious crying, folks. I mean, you just cry all your energy out. I mean, you just cried so much you just have to lay there. You don't have any more tears left. You just got to lay there exhausted. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David, listen to this, now David was greatly distressed, you see that? For the people spoke of stoning him. his own men were going to kill him. Man, you led us out in this war, in this battle, you know, this useless battle, and now we're back and our families are gone. We're going to take you out. The people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But now you have to grow, folks. All of us, we have to grow to a place. Now, everybody around David hated him. They were very upset with him, because they blamed him for what happened. But listen at this. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Listen, there may come a time when there's no one else around to tell us it's going to be all right. When there's no one else around that tells us this is what God says, this is God's promise to us. There may not be anyone else around. Everybody around may hate your guts. I may blame you for whatever is happening. We've got to grow to the place to where we can say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm going to strengthen myself in you. I'm going to stand on what you said. I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to bless your name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That's a Psalm of David, you know. Let's turn over there. Psalm 103. See, folks, we got to get to the place where if nobody else will encourage us, we must encourage ourselves. Psalm 103. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. And this is a Psalm of David, by the way. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And it goes on, who forgives all your iniquities, who heal all your diseases, who redeem your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. There's sometimes you have to talk to yourself, you see. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself. It's good when others encourage you. Are you still here? It's good when others, and we need to encourage others. And it's good when others encourage us. But we must grow. Everybody say grow. We must grow to the place where we can say, Lord, I bless you. Right in the middle of the storm, I bless your name. I praise your name. I give you the glory. Rather than having a cussing fit, have a praise party. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you do it. I hope not. But sometimes when things are real rough, bad, especially when folks have got on your last nerve. Anybody ever had your last nerve But hey, let me tell you something. I'm getting ready to close, folks. Amen. But when they get on your last nerve, that's not the time to blow it. That's not the time to quit. Because the devil's going to remind you, you remember how you used to handle these situations. Oh, yeah, he'll remind you. You remember how you used to do it? You used to tell them where they can go and how fast they can get there. But don't you do that. Don't you do that. That's praise time. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Lord, I praise your name. Hallelujah. That's the time to bless. Because when you have come to the place where you learn how to encourage yourself, nobody can whip you. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you can encourage yourself in the Lord. And that's exactly what David did. Encourage himself in the Lord. But in the meantime, our responsibility is to encourage others. Not to wait for somebody to encourage us. Let's be willing to encourage someone else. Let's be willing to encourage someone else, not cut them down. Tell them, you deserve what you're getting. You should have known better. Let's encourage them in the things of the Lord, especially young believers. Young Christians stumble. They make mistakes more often than mature Christians do because they're learning. Just like a baby trying to walk, they're going to stumble. Those of you that have children, when they was growing up and trying to walk and they tried to take a step and fail, you know, you didn't get your strap and whip them, did you? No. You picked them up and said, very good. Come on, get up and try again. You can do this. You can do this. And sometimes you have to take them by the hand and hold them while they take their steps. Yeah. Take their steps. After a while, guess what? They can walk by themselves. Hallelujah. Lift your hands right where you are and just give God praise right now. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just give him praise. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, finally, I want to say this to you. Just ask, Lord, send someone across my path this week that I can encourage. Maybe there's a brother or sister that's going through a hard time. Just send somebody across my path that I can encourage in the Lord. Encourage them in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. And we know your word would never return to you void. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to speak first of all to